It's good to know that our Bread and Body podcast has got this wider reach, Brad.
Okay, and here we go.
Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. It's great to see and hear everyone. Body, how are my man?
I'm very good, and I'm glad that we've got today's guest because there's really not a lot of basketball to talk about. So it's be really good to talk to this man who's done pretty much everything. Let's run through it. Give us the backstory.
He has. When you think of legends, you think of this man. He was born in Canberra in 1986. That's right, a New South Welshman. Let's just get that right in there now. He attended Radford High. He represented Australia at the Oceania Youth Tournament in 2004, averaging 19-8, mind you. He then played in the very strong Waratah League for the ACT Academy of Sport in 2004 and the Canberra Nationals in 2005. He then went on to go to the very illustrious, Metro State College, where he spent 4 years in this great program. Over those 4 years, had some amazing games, including in his freshman year when he was named the RMC All-Tournament Team after scoring 35 and 15 in 3 games. He was also named the RMC team for the All-Academy as a sophomore, junior and senior. In 2009, he signed a 2-year deal with the mighty Perth Wildcats, where he started his illustrious career, and that still continues today. His highlights are immense. He's a 6-time NBL champion, an NBL Cup winner last year, an All-NBL team member in 2012. He was the NBL Best Six Man in 2012 and the NBL Rookie of the Year in 2010. He's represented Australia, winning a gold medal or so at the 2018 Commonwealth Games. When you think of Perth legends, this man is right up there. And, of course, we are talking to none other than Jesse Wagstaff himself. Jesse, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys. I will correct you, though. Just ACT, I don't think that classifies as a New South Welshman.
No, no.
Right. Yes, you are, mate. Yes, you are.
The best thing is you were born in 86, and that was the year Adelaide 36ers had one of the best teams of all time. So you came into the into life at a great time, Jesse.
Yeah, there we are. I do support the Blues in the state of origin, but I wouldn't classify myself.
Then this conversation is over. You are a Welshman, and can I just say, Damian Martin would not be happy to hear that you are not classing yourself as a New South Welshman.
Yeah. Well, he's from Gloucester. He doesn't count.
So Metro State, I didn't know that. Who was your coach there? Was that during the Dunlap years, or was it Brandon Hayes? Who was coaching at that time?
Actually, both. So my first year, it was Coach Dunlap, and then 3 years after that, it was Brandon Hayes. He went over the road. Our campus was right across from the Pepsi Center where the Nuggets used to play. So he literally moved across the road to the Nuggets.
Right. So how did you come to basketball, Jesse? Because you know, most young men when they're in high school, football, especially in states like Western Australia and Victoria, South Australia, footy or rugby is the sport. What drew you to basketball? How did you find it? And tell us that story.
Yeah, look, that was kind of me too. I used to play, you know, I guess I have a rather unique story, but I used to play everything but basketball. You know, I used to do, you know, little athletics and soccer and cricket and swimming and tennis. You know, I was pretty fortunate. My parents used to shuttle me everywhere, but I didn't play basketball till pretty late. I was about 14 or 15, I think, and I just literally filled in for a friend. They were short on numbers and thought I could help them out, so I went along and really enjoyed it and kept on playing since then. So it's probably a later start than most guys. I'm kind of envious of the 5-year-old, and you speak to some guys in the league now, you know, they've been playing since 5 and wanted to play basketball all their life. But that was kind of never me, but I did enjoy it and kind of stuck with it. And it's taken me all around the world and, you know, I love it.
Have you got any siblings, Jesse, or are you an only child? What's your family's background?
No, I've just got one older sister and she's, you know, athletically quite talented. She was a good, you're probably going to laugh, but she was a really good race walker. She was a good runner. Right. She was a good rower. And so she was quite talented as a youngster.
So Ross, yeah. so she was leaning backwards a lot. You picked that up from her? Did you pick that up from her?
Yeah, right. I used to row as well, actually. It's one of the many other sports I did.
I think body was trying to get the falling back there. I've got your body. I know where he's going from.
I knew where he was going to.
way to just hand that through to the keeper. Jesse, yeah, when did it come through to a situation like, okay, yeah, I've got something here? Was that in Canberra? Was that Waratah? When was it like, yeah, I've got something?
Well, still, I don't think it has. I was actually at uni in Canberra, the ANU, and just playing, as you mentioned, for ACTAS and Nationals in the Waratah League, and just going to uni at ANU studying engineering. I think I'd finished my first year, and I was through my second year, and had a good under 20s. And I considered going to the States for college. I kind of pursued it, but, you know, I'm not saying I'm that old, but at that stage it wasn't as common as it was now, and had a really good under 20s nationals tournament, and a couple of unis contacted me, or colleges I should say contacted me, and I thought, why not? It'd be a good opportunity to go live life somewhere else and go to school there. So I thought I'd give
it a crack. Great. Well, that leads me to my next question. Why Metro State was the first thing I was going to ask, and secondly, how did they attract you? Like, what was it for you that said, yeah, this is where I want to go?
A couple of things, really, but primarily is in the Metro, I should say this now that I've been there, is not an academic powerhouse, but it did have engineering at the time, and a few of the other schools that, you know, I guess we were recruiting, we didn't have engineering, so that was one, and the Australian connection as well. You look at the names that school has produced Australian basketball, yeah. And it's quite exceptional.
Totally,
you know, it's exceptional.
Right. Well, were you there when Wirtho was there, Mark Worthington?
No, so he left the year before me, I believe. Maybe 2 years before me, actually. I think he was All-American Player of the Year.
Right.
There's been a couple since him as well. I think the year before me he left. Yeah.
So what Australians were with you there? Sorry, buddy, I just want to ask that. What Australians were there?
There were two. I actually went over the plane with one, Daniel Bass, who was in my wedding. He's in Adelaide now. He came back and played footy for Port Adelaide for a while. And Hayden Smith, who actually played in the NFL as well. Played professional rugby, went to the World Cup representing the US, which is another story, but a hell of a story. So that were the two that were with me at the time. Yeah.
So academically, what you picked up there, was any of that translatable to Australia, or did you find when you came home you may as well have torn that stuff up?
Let me clarify too. There was also Drew Williamson. I probably forgot him. He was my best man at my wedding too.
Shout out to Drew. Thanks so much. Yeah,
Drew, if you're listening, I apologize. I forgot you. But he was a senior when I was a freshman. I definitely forgot him. My bad, Drew. The question academically. A little bit. Look, I think America and Australia have an agreement that qualifications kind of count. So I was aware that if I came back, that qualification, engineering qualification, would kind of stand and be valid back in Australia.
Okay, so the 4 years are over and you had a pretty stellar career over there. What was it then, let's say you're in your fourth year and you're thinking, right, this is where I'm heading. What took you to Australia, first off, as in coming home and not going to Europe or somewhere else, and secondly, Perth?
It's kind of two-part that question. First is I didn't even know if I wanted to play basketball, to be honest. My initial kind of, I guess, path was to just kind of move back to Canberra or Sydney and try to get an engineering job. As it kind of grew closer towards the end of the year, I got contacted by a couple of agents and said, you know, do you want to pursue basketball? And I kind of gave it a quick thought and thought, you know, why not? It was similar to the college thing. If I get the chance, why not? So I thought, for sure, I'd pursue that. After I did that, the kind of connection coming out of Metro, especially with Dunlap, was Gorgon. Gorgon at the time was coaching South Dragons in 2009, and they just won it. And so it was kind of a foregone conclusion that I just signed with South. So went down that path and didn't really speak to anyone else and was kind of waiting on the contract. And my agent, Jeff McGuire, called and I said, oh, yeah, you got the contract? And he said, well, funny about that. They actually just went bankrupt.
Yeah, wow.
I was like, oh, that's awesome. Wicked. This is going real smoothly. And so I actually hadn't spoken to anyone else in the league. But at that time, Rob Beveridge, who actually I'd kept in contact with and who, funnily enough, my mum taught in primary school, got the job in Perth.
And hang on. Stop there. Was he a good student? Oh, was he a little rat bag redhead?
What do you think?
Mate, I'm going for option B. Definitely rat bag redhead.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
He was still Bevo back then.
Yeah.
And so Jeff contacted him and kind of transferred to Perth.
Can I just come back to your thought when you said you came back? Did you enjoy your time over at Metro? Like, you know, you hear some people go to college, oh, I couldn't wait back and I've got this. And you're a bit like, well, if something comes up, yeah, I'll take it.
I absolutely loved college. I even when people speak to me today about it, I recommend it thoroughly. I think it's such a huge learning curve. You know, and the reality is not everyone's going to come back and play professional basketball, but the things you learn and the life experience you get and the fun you have, I'd recommend it to anyone.
So you go to Perth Wildcats. Like, how long does it take before you win your first championship?
The first year. There was a bit of a
this is easy.
Clean out. Yeah. Ironically, I kind of thought that at the time. I was like, this is easy. This is what happens every year, right?
Yes.
Unfortunately, it doesn't. But, that was a great first year and a good introduction to the league.
Who was in that team that year? Yeah, I want to know who was in that team.
Oh, so Kev Lish was our import. He was straight out of SLU, St. Louis University. We had Damo, Brad Robbins, Martin Catalini, Galen Young, who obviously just passed away recently, which was
very sad.
You know, unbelievably tragic. Yep. Luke Shencher.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a fun year.
Yeah, was that Wollongong you beat in the final?
Yeah, we a three-game final. I think we won the first, they won the second and came back to challenge. And it was a pretty close game. They were playing pretty well. And I think Lish hit a buzzer beater.
That's right.
At the end of the third, maybe. He travelled.
That's it.
He definitely travelled. He'll never own up. Even though he's pretty honest, he'll never own up. But he travelled and hit a three on the buzzer and I think we ran away with it after that.
Yeah, I reckon that was huge. It just sort of broke their spirit a little bit.
It definitely did. It was definitely a momentum.
That was Gordy McLeod days, wasn't it, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
So you've played in six championships now. So that's almost, one every 2 years. It's a pretty fair strike rate, Jess. So can you isolate one of them and say, that was the best one, or the one I enjoyed the most, or the one I got the most pleasure out of was... And then, you know, the reason, if there is one like that?
Yeah, look, I think they're hard to separate. I get asked this a lot, actually, and I think one that does stand out, though, is the first year Bryce came in. It was just before Christmas, and we were down in numbers, and I think we were last on the table.
You were. I remember that.
Yeah,
you came in, and he played his first game. Was at Kudos Bank Arena, and I called that, and he went to work in it. I remember that game.
Yeah, but I mean, just before that, we were last, and... I think we played in Wollongong. It was kind of like a double header, and we got a really good win in Wollongong. Down in numbers, and it was just a really good win. And as I said, we're bottom of the ladder, and then Bryce came in, and as you said, he played pretty well in his first game, as he's done for the last 6 years or whatever. And after that, we were just rolling. I don't think we lost a finals game, and we just kind of kept on climbing and kept on growing. And, you know, we didn't do anything differently. It was strange. It was never panic stations. We knew it would click eventually, and it kind of did. Obviously, Bryce helped as well.
Oh, yeah. So look, I'm just thinking in my mind, going back through who some of the imports have been that you've played with, because you've played with some terrific players, like from Kevin Lisher, you mentioned it, Jermaine Beal, James Ennis, obviously Bryce Cotton, Casey Prather. Is Cotton by far the most outstanding, or is there somebody that we overlook now because of our sort of recency bias, you know, where we sort of tend to look at the last 5 minutes and not the last 20 years?
No, look, I think BC is you know, probably the best player I've seen play in the league. He's exceptional. And I think he does so many things. And, you know, you look at someone of his caliber and it's probably quite easy for him to be, you know, an idiot. Or but he's not. He's a great guy. He's a great teammate and a hell of a player. And, I think he's the best.
Okay, so you've been playing since 2009, like I said before. And if I serve correct, that to me, when I look back at that era, was a very physical era. It was such a different game than it is today. What is the biggest difference that you see between now and then?
Oh, that's a good question. I think for sure the athleticism's probably gone up. You mentioned the physicality and you know, the terms of the athleticism is just ridiculous compared to what it was a while ago. I definitely am getting slower, so it probably seems to be going a bit faster anyway. But the quality of import, obviously you get 3 imports now, which changes things.
Yeah.
Back in that day, you had guys like Luke Chencha, who could kind of still dominate a game, but there's rarely that kind of big, I hope Chencha doesn't mind me saying this, but the big lumbering kind of...
No, you're right. There isn't. Yeah, you don't pound it into the five-man anymore, is it? It's all stretched.
Yeah, it's kind of all stretched, and that five-man's quite versatile. You know, often you get teams playing a 6-6 five-man or something like that, which would kind of never happen back in the day. So I think that's another big difference too.
Yeah, excuse me. I'm still interested in the import one. I knew you were going to say Bryce Cotton because we all would say Bryce Cotton because he is phenomenal, and it's a mystery to all of us how the NBA hasn't come calling back to sort of get him back there. Is James Ennis, given that he has got an NBA career, would he be on the next level behind Bryce? Would he be, in the time you've been there, would he be number two?
Yeah, he would definitely be number two. You're taking all my answers. He had that NBA type body as well, and that athleticism and that kind of skill set. Obviously, that skill set doesn't directly translate to the NBA in terms of what he can do in the NBL. He's up against bigger bodies and stuff like that. But he was phenomenal too. He kind of had his way with the NBL when he was here. He could just dominate games. He had the size, he had the skill, the athleticism. He kind of had it all, which directly translates into the NBA.
Yeah, he just didn't have the body for swimming, did he? I mean, he couldn't dive into that water and retrieve that All-Star 5 trophy that accidentally fell out of his hand when he didn't get the MVP.
It's still there, I think.
Can I ask, Jesse, I've got so many questions because you're just phenomenal to talk to. You've played under a number of great coaches, would be fair to say, won championships under them as well. How is it, in a team like yours that is just so well balanced and that, that culture is so good, what is it like going from coach to coach? And obviously now this year is a new one.
Yeah, well, look, I think I've been pretty fortunate. You look at some guys over the league and they've played under a number of coaches. Scott's really only my third professional coach, really. I've had Bevo and Trev and that's it. And they've both had extraordinary success. You know what you're getting with both of them and Scott as well. They communicate well. They expect a lot of you. It's been relatively easy for me because, as I said, I've only played under 3 coaches in, 13 years.
Okay, so I want to get in your brain now. You're in Hobart, if I'm not mistaken, right now?
Yep.
What you're going to be away for a while. It's very well publicised about, what's going on with WA laws and everything. How long are you away for? When do you expect to get home? And how is it like that? I mean, you're not with family. This must be very tough.
Yeah, look, it is tough. It's kind of unique from this year and last year as well. Before that, Perth would have a couple of road trips, but it was never more than 2 weeks. But right now it's kind of stretching out to, minimum 5 or 6. We left on the 27th of December, and the borders are expected to be open on Feb 5th. The very earliest, so we know we're at least away for that. Stuff with our family, but I think what we did really well last year, and obviously everyone was in the same situation last year with the hub, no one did it tougher than New Zealand, and likewise this year no one is doing it tougher than New Zealand, let's get that straight. But it was kind of never really discussed. I know that sounds weird, but we just kind of went along with it. You can't do anything but change it. I know that sounds like a cliche, but, you know, you can discuss all you want, but nothing's going to change. So, you know, you acknowledge it, you move on, you try to put things in place to help those at home, especially those with kids. I've got 3 kids at home, all 5 and under. So my wife's copping the brunt of it right now.
So you want the borders to open, what, in April? Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
5 and under.
She wants them open now. No, but look, it is tough leaving those behind. But you try to put in as many, you know, things in place to help them out. And, you know, we've kind of got a job to do.
Okay, so this is what I'm hearing is just Perth Wildcats basketball, because a lot of people would say, oh, yeah, it's awful, and this is it. You're just like, and that's what I want to now hear this from you. Why is Perth Wildcats so good on the road? Like, what do you do different? Because you've just said, well, you just got to make it and you've got to get it done. Is that what you guys talk about? And what do you do on the road to make it feel so comfortable?
I think it's probably a combination of a lot of things. You know, first of all, we've got an incredible staff. You know, I don't think that should be overlooked. Our front office staff and support staff are huge. You know, they do a lot of things behind the scenes that don't get the credit. You know, you add to that, we've got some good players and some good people. And that's very important in my book. You know, obviously they've got to be able to play basketball, but over the years, there's, you know, not many people that you wouldn't want to go into battle with. So that helps. You had a bit of luck and hopefully you go well. So, you know, I don't think it's a, you know, there's any secret to it. You know, you just put those things together and hopefully you go all right. But, you know, things that often people throw at you, like, you got the travel. And, you know, since I've been at the Wildcats, travel has never been discussed. It's not. You know, we've got to address, you know, traveling, you know, the most in the league. That's just not even discussed. It's not even a thing. It's just
a fact of life, isn't it? It's just a fact of
life. Yeah, I mean, you can't do anything about it. So you just get on with it and try to combat it as best you can.
Yeah.
Now, Jesse, I know you didn't hear last week's program, because on the program I shocked a few people by saying, looking back over 2021, that my biggest disappointment was for Perth, for that championship series that you should lose Bryce Cotton, and then Mitch Norton's running around on one leg and eventually can't go on. I just really did feel sympathetic towards the Wildcats, because I thought all 3 games, even though you were swept, were so competitive. You know, you guys worked so hard. You were carrying an injury too, I'm sure of it, because I reckon I saw you when no one was watching, limping around here and there. Did you have a calf injury or something, or was I just imagining it?
It was strange. It wasn't really an injury. It was just tightness, and it was kind of persistent tightness that wouldn't, you know, go away. It was kind of strange, and, you know, it was by no means an excuse. It's not as if I rely on my athleticism on the court. But, yeah, it was just one of those things. And as I said, sometimes you need a bit of luck. But, you know, it was funny last year. I think I said in the post-game presser after we lost the third, you know, often coaches, you know, and Trev did it as well. He came in after the game and said, look, I'm incredibly proud of you and you know, yada, 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 and yep. Things like that. And often I dismiss those things and think, but we still lost, you know. But it was funny after the game, you know, I was incredibly proud of the guys and how we fought all year, not just in that series. You know, it still hurts losing, don't get me wrong. It sucks,
sure.
That feeling of pride, and it was real.
Did you? I just wanted to make sure you did. You did hear that a person from Adelaide felt sorry for the Perth Wildcats. Did you just? Yeah. Did we hear that properly?
Yeah, that's the second week in a row we've revisited.
I thought I'd answer the question before he took it back.
Jesse, I'm going to ask now. What keeps you going? You've done everything. Why come back another year? Why look? I mean, you're playing. You could keep playing forever. You're playing as good as, if not ever.
Yeah, 90 points the other week. Hey.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're playing brilliant basketball. But what motivates Jesse to A, come back another year, and B, just keep going and doing what you're doing?
I enjoy it, to be honest. I think it's
good answer.
You know, it's a pretty good job. You know, and if you're going to do it, you know, you'll give it your all. So it's a good job. You get to hang out with your mates. You try to put a ball in a hole and provide for your family. And, you know, there's not too many things out there that, you know, are as fun as playing basketball. So
yeah, absolutely.
You know, I don't want to be in a wheelchair going around and knees hurting after I finish. I'm sure they will a bit, but so I'm not sure how long I can do it for. But, you know, while I can, I figured I'd swing around another year.
Yeah, it looks like you've been drinking at the old Fountain of Youth, because your games lately have been pretty good, pretty solid. I got to talk to you briefly about the unsportsmanlike foul against Cairns. Just one question for you. I don't want to get you into trouble because I've got my own view of this. But when you saw it was upgraded to a USF, did you want to tell them to GF?
Well, it's actually funny. I'll tell you two stories. One, during the game, I was like, oh, I thought they were reviewing. I originally thought I got pushed in the back fairly hard and didn't realise I slipped on Zimmerman's foot. So I was like, oh, you must be reviewing if it was an offensive foul, kind of illegal seal. But obviously they weren't. But, you know, after the game, I watched it and it was definitely, you know, I guess I think Vaughan explained it, the force of it, and it probably looked a bit ungainly, but I felt like I pushed and I didn't really get pushed. I just slipped on his foot. So it was unintentional, but it was pretty ugly. And it could have been uglier from the drip down.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it could have been.
So thankfully it was all right. And look, to be honest, watching the film, I wasn't happy there was an unsportsmanlike, but I could see how they could definitely come to that conclusion.
That's a very, very
wow.
diplomatic answer. We'll talk about that later when Jess is off.
All right.
I mean, at the end of the day, look, I wasn't happy during the game, but at the end of the day, I effectively tunneled him, didn't I? And, you know, it could have been very ugly. It was unfortunate, but it was definitely pretty severe.
All right, we're going to toss some names at you now.
Yeah, so okay. We love this time of the year. So we're going to throw this time of the poll. We're going to throw some names. All we're looking is for like a one-word, one-sentence answer on what comes to mind when we say this name. I'll start it off, and Damian Martin.
Can I just leave it as laughter?
Yeah, you can.
Yep, perfect.
That's a good answer.
Interesting human being, very interesting.
All right, I've got one. Your mentor in the look someone blew past me, I better fall over stakes, Sean Redditch.
Look, I love the guy. I think he's... you know, we're still very good friends. He's misunderstood.
Beautiful. I love that. Love it. Next one, Trevor Gleeson.
Hard but fair.
Interesting. Yeah, good one.
Let's go before Trevor, Rob Beveridge.
Yeah, a little rat bag.
Are you saying that or your mum?
Yeah, no, both. No, look, I still text him occasionally, and he's still a good family friend.
He's a good man. Okay, you've spoken about his swimming technique, but I'm going to ask about outside of that, James Ennis.
Exceptionally talented.
Right. Yeah. And my last one for you is Mark Worthington.
Legend and WA legend too.
Yep. You know what? Just quickly segueing from that, I thought the send-off, when he played his last game, which happened to be for Cairns in Perth, the send-off the crowd gave him was phenomenal, because, you know, he'd been one of those guys that comes in and gives his all and leaves it all out there, and he's a hard ass. And to have that respect of the fans and the way they treated him post-game, I thought that was an absolute credit to the Red Army.
Yeah, it was really well-deserved too, I think. You know, everyone that comes and plays at the arena, I think most people know who's from WA and who isn't. And, you know, they obviously know where they is. And it was kind of fitting to have, you know, his last game there. Given that he'd never played for the Wildcats as well, but to have his last game there, you know, I think was pretty fitting.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Mate, we can't thank you enough for coming on, Jesse. I know you're in the midst of travel and you've given your time up. We thank you so much. You're a legend of our sport. And to be honest with you, this is the first time I've sort of got to have a chat with you and everything. And, you know, everything you see on the court, well, you look even better off the court, mate. So thank you so much. We wish you all the best for this year and for the continuing years. And here's to number 7, mate.
He's open. Thanks for having me, guys.
No worries at all, Jesse. It was a pleasure.
That was brilliant, buddy. We've been wanting Jesse on for a while. It was great to get him. And what a calm person he was. Just so level-headed, wasn't he?
Guys from his particular era, that ilk, I find they're all like that. Like, they're just at a place where they're really comfortable with the game, and they're comfortable with what the game throws at them. And if that's going to be COVID.
Six rings will do that to you, I reckon.
Yeah, exactly. One for his head and one for his...
I want to talk about WNBL and NBL, but I want to mention WNBL first. Kelly Wilson, wow.
Yep, 400 games. That's quite the achievement in any sport, but at the elite level. And she's a multiple championship player. She's just, she just plays the game hard and got a lot of respect for it. And yeah, I couldn't be happier for her. I hope she has a great 400th and it's memorable for her for all the right reasons.
Couldn't agree more. So congratulations to Kelly and we wish you all the best. And mate, what about your Adelaide girls, mate? Loving them.
Yeah, not travelling too badly, knocking off Melbourne and held Melbourne to 3 points in the last quarter.
Yeah.
Three. That's your career average, isn't it?
You're talking minutes?
Right. And then the following game, which is the recent game, they beat Perth. And Perth came out like really firing. Marina May, I'm having a blank on the girl's name. The new star they picked up from the WNBA, she's come out and gone bunter in the first quarter there.
Yeah.
And had 11, had 18 with 5.5 minutes before half time. Brett, she had 18 points. Brilliant. I thought she was on target to get 30 in the first half and finished with 60. She finished with 30 and ended up with 24 shot attempts and made a couple of huge ones at the end of the game, which were big, makes you sort of hides a wealth of sins. But if she's going to be taking 24 shots a game and you got Sammy Whitcomb and then the next person after that's taken half as many with 12 shot attempts, they might have some trouble just having one ball. That team's got a lot of talent, but I don't envy the coach Ryan. He's got some work ahead to make them function as a group. But Adelaide looking really good, really surprising because they're very much a team. We're seeing Alana Smith play some great basketball and Steph Talbot close to a triple-double in the last game. Yeah, they're a surprise packet, no question about it.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. Well, let's just quickly talk to NBL. Mate, obviously it's meant to start on Friday. When I say start, round six, I should say, starting with Adelaide at home against Perth. When we've got Tasmania at home, Cairns, Illawarra, Brisbane, South East and Cairns. Mate, just hope these games go ahead.
Yeah, that's where we're at, isn't it? We're now not sort of worrying about who's going to win or who's going to lose. We're worrying about who's going to play.
Yeah.
He's going to actually get out on the floor and be able to go. So
yeah, we're recording this today on Tuesday. I can say that because that's when we could get Jesse. And today there was 23,000 cases in Sydney or New South Wales. So it's not going away, is it? So
no, not in any great hurry. So
I feel for the NBL. It's not a great area to be in. I really do.
Cheer us up with a really good Rosen Rattler. Come on.
Well, my Rosen Rattler, I'm going out to Tasmania, the Jack Jumpers.
Yep.
Now, here's a new club that, have come in. They've recruited the best they can, never easy. And they took Melbourne United all the way on New Year's Day. They were phenomenal. And I thought, Melbourne, who are, forget those two losses that they had at the start, they're humming, right? You know, Golding's back and that's been phenomenal. That team is right up there as probably the best team in the league at the moment, Melbourne, in my opinion, with Illawarra, right? You've still got your purse, I understand all of that, but humming at the moment. Tasmania, well played. They get my Rosen Rattler. I love watching them play. They play with heart.
Yeah, and I think that comes from Scott Roth. I think that's off to him. I think he's doing a great job there in difficult circumstances. Anytime you're starting a new club, it's a difficult circumstance.
Yeah, good call. All right, give me a nasty.
My night's nasty this week. Well, I really enjoyed watching the way Cairns played against Perth. I think we've underestimated Cairns. I know it's a very small sample size and their only wins are against Tasmania and Adelaide, who we don't really rate necessarily as championship threats by any stretch of the imagination. But I don't think Cairns is getting sufficient credit for what it is doing. And they played a Perth team at full strength. We saw Mitch Norton back, and we got to see Matt Hodgson.
Never gets old.
So we had Perth at its best, all right? And I don't think Cairns got any love from the referees. I thought they did it hard. They're down players. They were down to Tajir McCall, as well as Scott Machado now, and Mirko Jerick. So for them to force a very tight result, was a great achievement. I think we've got to keep an eye on Cairns. Now, getting to my nasty, the bit that really did upset me was the unsportsmanlike foul against Jesse Wagstaff. I know we touched on it in the interview with Jesse, but he slips. He slips on a guy's foot, falls. I mean, what's he supposed to do? Transport himself to another part of the court with some transporter beam or something? He falls. He can't disappear. He falls into Majok Deng's path. Majok Deng, unfortunately, goes for a major tumble. It looks like a tunnel. Fortunately, Majok Deng, who has another career high with 27 points, is playing great the last
week.
When he lands, and he doesn't do himself too much damage, because that could have been bad. But the whole thing was just an accident. So since when are accidents now classed as unsportsmanlike fouls? I mean, yeah, you're just getting, you know, just getting to the point where
fair it's call. Ridiculous. I do love Jesse's response. I thought that was brilliant.
He was good.
The ultimate professional, as we expect.
All I'm going to say is this. What happened to common sense in umpiring? Just common sense.
Well, this is what happens in any sport, mate. You know, when you're like, I see it, you see it in AFL or rugby league, you know, all these things. It's unfortunately sometimes, and I see this all the time in rugby league as well, you look for the reason that it's not. So if we talk rugby league as a try, you know, they look for the reason why it's not the try. And, you know, like that can be sometimes for unsportsmanlike. So I think it's very difficult. I love Jesse's response where he said, you know, like, I can see that. I can look at that and think, yeah, I can see why that was an unsportsmanlike. Don't know whether I agree with it. And if you ask the referees, I don't know whether they'd agree with it. But unfortunately, you put yourself in those when you go to all these replays and look for those things. So it's a difficult one, mate, but it's a good nasty anyway.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Well, I like to have a good nasty here and there.
Yeah, there's no – I've heard that about you.
Usually in the bathroom. Exactly. All right, let's move on.
On that note, we'll finish on that note. And to everyone, thank you. We wish you all a very happy new year. Of course, get on down to Burger Boss if you're in the Adelaide region. We love Burger Boss.
I've worked it out what the best thing about Burger Boss is, why their burgers are so good, Brad. What? And there's everything they use is fresh, right from the buns. They get them made specially, and then they're not full of sugar like a lot of the buns you get in the, say, American franchises. And everything is fresh. All the ingredients are fresh. It tastes great. Highly recommend it. I love them as a sponsor.
Thank you, Burger Boss. We love
them better as a burger.
There we go. We love the sponsorship. Thank you to Piranha Media, everyone. A very happy new year to you all, and we will see you next time.
Look forward to it.
Mate, how good was Jesse? Just how composed he was about on the road and how everything is. And you can just see that Wildcats basketball coming out, can't you? Just so relaxed.
You know why he's so relaxed? It's all that time he spends on the floor. You know when they sort of brush past him, he just falls down. He's just always lying around. That's why he's so relaxed, I'm telling you.
You're sober in Adelaide.